break of day. All the shadows, they always run away. Then why should I despair? Why should I even go there? When the morning is on the way, the dawn will come. There's no evil or devil.
We the people of the cross have much to look forward to, unlike the people in the hopeless grip of the dark god of this world. We're told by God in his book to not be afraid of those who can kill only our body. This body will soon be restored to its original design anyway. That means there is fear, a holy fear, a fear of being disqualified for that restoration. That fear of displeasing the one who can kill our body but also discard our soul into everlasting fire is actually a deadly volcano that will erupt and engulf every living thing that refuses to bow before the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, sent to be the Savior of all creation, the Lamb of God, whose death and resurrection is the dawn of a gushing, ever-made new life, filled with a light that will never be darkened by even a single shadow. Watching for his coming to gather us as one family to himself fills us every day with more of that light to penetrate the darkness around us so that he can physically touch every person he connects us with. While it is day, the night is coming. The shadows of the dark night are beginning to roll in over the earth, trying its best to catch up and extinguish the explosion of God's grace, flooding into nations that were held prisoner by evil regimes who forced their people to curse the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For years now, Isa, Yeshua, Yesu, Jesus, has been intimately contacting specific individual people in those cultures, and each one he comes to is immediately made completely new, transformed by a kind of love they'd only dreamed of and longed for, but never felt. For us, the people of the cross, the dawn has come, and it is a new day, a day that will never end and never, never for a moment be darkened by even evil's worst. The cross is the worst evil can do, and we are the people of the cross. We've come through the cross with Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We walk in the light, for he who lives in us is the light of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, my guest today is Mike Rozelle, and his wife, Pam, is the one he's talking about. And they were, where were you?
We were at the Wailing Wall. Down below. Friday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the hat on.
Right.
The guy's on one side, the women.
You're up next to the wall.
I'm up next to the wall. I went with about six guys. We walked around, we saw, we took in, and then we decided that we would take 15 minutes and just go spend time with the Lord in our own place on the wall.
Yeah,
and the women are already there. So there's this group of about 15 of us from different reasons why we're all together, and then we were going to meet together back at the flagpole, and now everybody's there, thousands of people, and I'm walking towards the flagpole. Now the women were obviously on the other side, and so the people that were gathering were going to meet and all go our different directions. I saw the big clock, 6:30. I start walking back, and there was our group, and one of the women there, Mary, she was from Singapore. She looked at me and she said, "Mike, we're over here." And I came, and off about 50 yards away, my wife and Cindy were starting to come, quite a ways away. And she goes, "So did you enjoy it?" I go, "It was wonderful." And she goes, "Are you okay?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm fine." She goes, "No, are you okay?" And I said, "You know, something just happened to me."
Yeah.
And I'm ready to cry now. And I started to tell her. Well, by this time, I'm talking about laying my hands on the wall, praying for my staff, thanking for the life that you gave me, putting meaning and purpose into a life that really had none, and just thanking the Lord. And now Cindy and Pam are walking up and listening. And I start to say, it was almost like this Polaroid coming into focus. And I was praying and listening all the noises. And all of a sudden, this picture was million kids plus just coming into focus without faces, but as far as the horizon, all different shapes and colors, these children everywhere. And Cindy goes, "Oh my gosh." And I look over and Pam's got tears in her eyes. Cindy looks at Pam and says, "Pam, tell them." Now, my wife and I have been on two different sides, you know, the women.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, "Babe, I just got done taking a piece of paper and writing on the paper, 'Lord, would you give Michael and I 1 million children?'" At the same time, God started to give me the vision, I believe. He stopped my, "Hey, thank you for the JoJo's of the world thing." And all of a sudden, this Polaroid. Dude, all of us started bawling. It was,
yes,
it was a high and holy moment.
Yes, of course.
It was one of those things where you go, you really are in control. You
yes.
really are completely and absolutely in control.
Yes, Lord, you are in
control.
And
Terry, it's those things that have been happening in the last 6 to 8 months of my life. And I go, what happened, Lord? Mm. What happened? To that is what drew me to you. The simplicity of your word, the power of your spirit. You know, that Polaroid kind of analogy really is only applicable to those of us who grew up with Polaroids. But for me, that is happening more and more frequent as far as I'm looking for the absolute. I'm looking for what's next. I'm looking for that dot that I can clearly see.
Yes.
And the Lord is going, your own message is coming back as the potter and the clay. The clay doesn't know what the potter's doing, but you're just going to have to know that I have got this thing finished. And anyway, it was a radical time in Israel, and it was right at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
And it was and still is. My hair stands straight up when I think of it. Lord, you took my wife's prayer and transferred that to her husband's heart.
That was a high and holy moment in the revelation of God's reality.
I don't know that I'll ever forget that. I don't live there. I want to, but I'm getting more and more of those.
Well, when we're taken to that high place in him and he shows us stuff, everything from then on, as we go down into the valley and live the life, it's all filtered through that, and it's all colored by that and shaped by that. Even if we do the same thing, I believe a more direct input and action of the Holy Spirit.
Well, if it did anything for me, is inspired me and encourages me to know the God of the impossible is wanting to reveal himself in an impossible way to me,
yes,
but yet seems very natural.